But I want to say I'm glad to see you here this evening. I know there are a lot of things going on, folks visiting with families and traveling and so forth. We've got folks on vacation, but it's good to see that you've taken the time once again to return this evening and be with us. Ron, I don't know what happened there. Something dropped out on the monitor. Oh, just happened? Okay. All right, it just happened. We'll try to get by with that. It doesn't matter. All right, the lesson tonight is from Luke chapter 15. If you will grab your Bibles, if you haven't already done so, and turn to Luke 15, then that's where we were this morning, so it's real easy to grab a hold of it there. Chapter 15 is about those that are lost, things that are lost. And of course, this morning we talked about the prodigal son and the father who had a Father's Day when that son returned. The son that was lost was found, and then there was great rejoicing. When you look at verse 1 of chapter 15, you start seeing the context, and we're going to get there in just a minute. But I want to notice verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And then look what we read, verse 5. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. What a wonderful experience for the lost sheep, but even more for the shepherd who is willing to do what is necessary to go after the lost sheep. And it's interesting in that song that we just sang that it uses the term desert, referring, of course, to the wilderness and to what lengths the shepherd will go to rescue the lost sheep. But in Palestine, it's interesting that sheep will start grazing, and then the way they get lost is they'll just keep eating, and as they follow the grass, before long, the herd's here and the sheep's lost. And then one thing about sheep, they don't recognize too much where they need to turn and go back to the grass if they run out. So they'll keep pursuing. And oftentimes when they get to the edge of a mountain, that means what are they going to do? Like goats, they're going to head up to the mountain. And that creates a problem. And so therefore it necessitates that the shepherd be that one who's able to leave the 99 and go looking for the lost sheep. And of course, when he's found it, what does he do? He puts it on his shoulders. And then he's rejoicing. Why? Because he's successful in bringing back that lost sheep. And look at what happens as you see this unfold in verse 6. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." What is interesting about that, you see, hear him calling for his friends and his neighbors. And you might think, well, why is it such a thing that he wants to do that? Well, of course, he's rejoicing because the lost is found. But there is also another reason. When shepherds lost one sheep, when they lose a sheep, get my verbs right here. When they lose a sheep, the chances are not always so high that they're going to find that sheep alive. Because there are a lot of things out there that wants that sheep. And we'll see that unfold here in a little bit. But when we look at the background, actually this parable, going back to verse 1, Scripture says, "And all the tax collectors and the sinners drew to him to hear him." So Jesus was able to draw a crowd. But look at the crowd. Tax collectors. They were the outcast of the people because it wasn't they just didn't like paying taxes, but they felt like these men were traitors. Because they were working for the Roman government. So they were not too popular. If they were the Roman tax collectors, if they were collecting the temple tax, that might be another story. But I'm not sure that's what this is referring to. I believe it's referring to those who were considered the outcasts, the untouchables, those that were traitors. And then notice in that category he has here the sinners. The tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. But then we have another group that comes forth. That's the Pharisees and the scribes. This was the religious folks of the day who held their nose high in the air and said to the world, "Look at me, we got it right." and they didn't have it right. And it's okay to be proud of holding to the truth and standing for the truth and being right with the Lord. That's good. But these folks weren't right with the Lord, were they? But they thought they were. But they had taken their religion to the point of arrogance, to the point of looking down upon those they did not consider worthy of even being in the same room with them. And so they're complaining. The Pharisees and the scribes, they complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and he eats with them." It's not just that he has them around him, but he's actually in communion with them. And of course, we know why he was in communion with them. Because they needed to hear his words. And they would be more receptive than those who stood high with their nose in the air. And so verse 3, it's interesting that to this group of Pharisees and scribes, particularly, he speaks a parable to them saying, and that's the parable that unfolds before us. When we start thinking about what Jesus is talking here about sheep and shepherds, I am not an expert. I know little about sheep herding, very little about cattle, and nothing about goats. Even though I've been called an old goat on special occasions. But I can learn things. And some of the things that I learn is, as I read and study about sheep, is that sheep are very easily lost. In fact, they have no sense of direction. Even if the sheepfold is in sight, they're eating their way, and they'll just keep venturing and venturing and venturing further away from that sheepfold. And if they get out there and they're at the end of the grass, they're lost. Even though that fold is behind them, you think they could turn around and follow their way back. You see, sheep don't mean to wander off, but when they see grass, they're on the path. And of course, what a shepherd would do, he would take the sheepfold out, of course, to feed them grass. And they would graze and they'd move from one place to another. But sometimes the sheep did not keep the sheepfold, of course, in sight, and they wander off. And here's the problem. Sheep are defenseless. In fact, you can almost, and I thought about doing this for a slide, just taking and putting the target on the side of the sheep. Because that's what they are. When the sheep leave the sheepfold, they're nothing but a target. They're easy prey. They don't run well. And of course, they're not camouflaged at all. Have you ever noticed that about sheep? You talk about bright light in the grass. They are. And then they have no weapons of defense. They can't run. They have nothing to fight with. And they're standing there saying, "Look at me, I'm the buffet at the Golden Corral." They're defenseless. They're a target. And when you leave sheep alone, here's the problem. They're going to need rescuing. They are in a hopeless condition without a shepherd interceding. In fact, so much so, as you go back to the Old Testament, and you look at Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 2, "Therefore they went their way as a flock." And look at the words. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Over and over we see this scenario painted about the people of Israel. Those who have wandered away, or the shepherds did not do their jobs, and therefore they were sheep without a shepherd. And when that occurs, they are in trouble. That's why when we think about sheep, we must always remember, of course, that sheep need a shepherd. And who's a shepherd? Well, as you look at this passage unfold, what man of you, having 100 sheep, who's the guy that has 100 sheep? It's a man. The man is the shepherd. He takes upon himself the chosen role to be the shepherd over the sheep. And if it requires going after the one that's lost, he's going to do that. If it means he's going to carry that sheep on his shoulders, he's willing to do that. He will bear that burden. Why? Because he's chosen that as his profession. If you go back to Genesis 46 and verse 32, We read about the shepherds, and we have a very good definition in Genesis 46, verse 32. It says, the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So who are these men? They are shepherds. They are the ones who have taken upon themselves the responsibility for caring for that flock. But that includes feeding the flock. Being there to meet those needs that that flock has. Because they're keepers. They're the ones who provide for the necessities. They are the ones that stand guard. They are the ones who go after the sheep that are lost. Clearly, a shepherd is one who fills a job, a role. It's not just a title. It's a job. A job that requires a lot from them. Remember what Jesus said in John 10? When he talks about the sheepfold. He says there, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. That tells us that a shepherd's not a thief and a robber. A shepherd is not in that character. He is one who has chosen to fulfill a responsibility. And so, clearly, he's one authorized because he enters the door of the sheepfold as that shepherd to care for those sheep. So he's one who's been given the job. He's authorized and he's qualified to be exactly what he is, and that is a shepherd. And I want to focus a little bit upon that word keeper. In Luke chapter 2, we read about the shepherds who were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Being a shepherd was not an easy position. It required a lot of a man. You remember David served as a shepherd. We have insight to how he protected the sheep. But they are given charge to watch that flock. And that meant they had to stand guard. Not only did they work to move those sheep to the right place so they could have the pasture that they needed, but they were there for their defense. Remember, they've got a target painted on the side of them. They are nothing but a buffet for creatures who would like to enjoy eating fresh meat. And so that shepherd had that job, even if it meant keeping watch over their flock. And notice that they're out in the fields in this case. Of course, when the time of year came about that they were to graze those sheep and get them out, they did so. And that meant they roughed it. They weren't living in the best of conditions. They didn't check into the Holiday Inn right next door and then come back out and take care of the sheep. Oh no. They were men who were willing to make the sacrifice. Jeremiah 31:10, we read these words. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Declare it in the isles afar and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him. And then look what it says. And keep him as a shepherd does his flock. And that's it. That's the job. He keeps the flock. He guards it. He protects it. He provides for its food necessities. And he is there doing what is required to protect that flock. And of course, Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. And look what else it says there and give us insight to the work of a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. And then we read, and gently lead those who are with young. When the shepherds would go out into the fields, provide that grazing, they were also taking them out at a time when those sheep would be bringing forth the little lambs. And that provided a challenge in itself, because that meant the shepherd couldn't just pick up the sheep and say, all right, let's go. Get them there and go back and check in the Holiday Inn. No, he had to stay there. And he had to work with them gently. He had to gently lead them. And of course, they would know his voice and they would follow. And why? Because he knew that those little lambs could not keep the same pace. And so these men were very much aware of the different levels of maturity in the flock. They were aware of each sheep having different needs. And of course, he understood that those newborn babes, so to speak, had to be fed in such a way that was different from those who were mature. And so he, being a aware shepherd, being the shepherd that cared and tended for his flock, one who was willing to carry those lambs in his arms, was willing to lead them gently and to understand that he had a great responsibility with them. But there's another aspect of the shepherd that I find interesting. When you think about who that man is, he's a man that carries a staff. Go back to the prophet Micah, verse 14 of chapter 7, we read some interesting words about the shepherd. The shepherd, your people with your staff. Shepherd, your people with your staff. The flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland in the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead in the days of old. You see the feeding concept going on here? And of course, we're not looking at the context of Micah 7, but we can gain enough right here to understand the work of a shepherd. A shepherd is one who has that staff. And I'm not real familiar with the shepherds and the use of that staff, and so I was a little curious on exactly what they do with that staff. Well, fortunately, even in America, the staff's still in use by shepherds. And of course, as you might suspect, or you may already know, that shepherd can take that staff and he can grab a hold of that sheep. Particularly with young sheep, because young sheep tend to be fast compared to the adults. And of course, you know how little ones like to play and wander away. And so the shepherd, in watching on that flock, he can make sure and grab those sheep. He didn't have to reach down and grab them like a greased pig. He could take that staff and reach out and meet the needs of the sheep. And when he had to work the adult sheep, he could take that staff, and if you'll notice here in this picture, this is actually in Charleston, South Carolina. There is a sheep farmer. And he's written a lot, and this is where I got this picture of information. This comes from the Charleston City Paper, but it's showing him at work with his sheep. And he's actually taking that staff, and he's pulling that sheep back and putting that sheep in a position where he can actually tend to it. And I find that fascinating. Not only that, the staff provided what the shepherd needed when he had to go climbing looking for the sheep. And so that staff was essential. And it clearly reminds us of how important it is to recognize that shepherds need to be equipped. It's interesting to think about shepherds of the church, how that God pointed out that they are to be equipped with the knowledge of the Word. That gives them what they need to be able to shepherd the sheep. And I think that is something to think about, because the work of that shepherd is very, very critical. In fact, this man is willing to leave the 99 and go after the one. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were to go to the coast of North Carolina, better not start naming states, I'll have y'all going to the coast in Alabama, but I know better than that. But if you were in Florida, let's say, and there's this sign that's on the beach, and you wanted to go out there and get wet so you can say you've been in the ocean, and there's a big sign that says, "Beware sharks," I want y'all to know something. I've lived a few years, and I've learned if there's a sign that says, "Beware of them," I'm not getting in the water. No problem. I know what the ocean is. I've seen it. Not going in it. When this shepherd leaves that flock, not only is the sheep in danger, but he's putting himself in danger. He is willing to lay down his life for those sheep. You talk about a job. But he does. If he loses that one sheep, notice it says here, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one who was lost until he finds it. He's going to be persistent because his goal is to go out there and rescue that one sheep. And this is an actual picture of a guy rescuing sheep. I hope you can see it okay. Do you notice where he's at? He's hanging on to a rock, willing to put himself on the line for the sheep. And so we have to ask the question, why does he rescue just one sheep? Why is he willing to leave the 99 and go after the one that's lost? In Matthew 18, we have a parallel account of Luke chapter 15 in reference to this lost sheep. And verse 14 says something that I think gives us great insight. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God doesn't want one to perish. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That shepherd who takes upon the role of shepherd in the flock is one who's not willing that any should perish, even one. He's willing to put himself on the line for that one shepherd. And when you think about that, you have to admire those men who take that upon themselves. And even so, Amos gives us insight in Amos 3, chapter 12, about a shepherd and part of the work. Because not only is he successful, not always does he find the sheep alive. Amos says this in reference to, referring to, I believe, Samaria as a remnant. As a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear. That shepherd is a man who feels the loss. But even more important, for him, there's no sheep left behind. He went out there willing to give himself to make the ultimate sacrifice to save the one. Sometimes he's not successful. In looking at this verse, I was a little bit lacking in understanding why he would take two legs and a piece of an ear from a lion. I believe if that lion had that, it'd be like out there swimming the sharks, he can keep it. But you see, the shepherd did not want any remnants of that slain lamb available for any other creature. He did not want any other creature to know that there was a buffet waiting in the field. He wanted no remnants of that lamb. And also it was suggested that the shepherds who found those sheep that were slaughtered, that they would pick them up, the pieces, clean it up, and then take it back to show that he went after it and what he found and the ultimate results, especially if he was responsible to an owner. And when you start thinking about that, this was a man who feels the loss. Zechariah 11, verse 3, there's the sound of the wailing shepherds. And why are they wailing? For their glory is in ruins. Verse goes on, there is the sound of roaring lions. Sometimes lions would mount an attack, generally working usually alone, but sometimes lions would gather and they would wreak havoc to a flock of sheep. Or there would be several slain because they separated from the flock and the lions would have a field day. But a man who serves as a shepherd is one who feels for the sheep. He understands the loss. And that is significant. And that also gives us the contrast that we have in Luke chapter 15 and verse 6. Because when he finds that lamb and it's whole, it's alive. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." It is truly a time of rejoicing because this shepherd likely would have been very familiar with what it meant for that sheep to be slain or lost. But here is rejoicing. When we look at the qualifications for an elder of the church, a shepherd of the church, it starts out in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, New King James says, in the King James, I believe, he desires a good work. And if you look at that word that's translated bishop, as we pointed out last week, that's the word which means overseer. And who's the overseer? It's the shepherd. You might wonder, why would anyone want the job of a shepherd, shepherding sheep? Going out there, living it in with the sheep as they go from place to place, staying up at night, watching over the flock, leaving the 99 and going after the one. And you might think, well, why do they leave the 99 and go after one? Well, it's because the only hope for survival that the sheep has is in their flock. But also, likely, there would have been more than one shepherd. But we don't know what Jesus has in mind. Of course, we're not told. But we do know what happens when one goes, the shepherd follows. The shepherd does not want to see the lost. And he knows it's of great necessity to go after the one. Why? Because sheep will get lost and sheep need a shepherd. If you ever think at all about why the church needs elders, the answer is right here. Sheep need a shepherd. When he comes home, he called together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. God designed the church to have men who were overseers, shepherds of the flock. Why? Because sheep get lost. And you might think, well, a church can function, yes, because we know it did in the first century without elders. And I'm thankful, like in the congregation we have here, there are men who are working hard to try to keep after the sheep. And not only men, but women. In fact, some of the women outwork the men and sending out cards and letters and making phone calls. And that's wonderful. Because, you see, it's very easy for sheep to get lost when there's no shepherds. That's why Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, or 5, verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock. That's the elders. They are the ones who care. They are the ones who feel and are willing to lay themselves down, serving as overseers over the flock. And you ask, who are these men? Clearly, as we read in Jeremiah 3, verse 15, they are shepherds according to the heart of God, appointed by the plan of God. As you remember in Acts 20, verse 28, made you overseers. Who? God. Men were chosen by qualification. Their job, men who will feed the church with knowledge and understanding. They'll uphold the staff of righteousness. Because the Holy Spirit, as Paul said, has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Qualified men, meeting the requirements of the word of the Spirit, written in this book, are serving with a desire because of the sheep. They, like God, have a heart for those that are lost. They feel for those who've wandered away, and they are willing to lay down their lives for the one. Of course, this verse probably comes to mind when we talk about laying down life as a shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the facts. And that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life for the sheep. And you know that the sheep need the shepherd. And I'm thankful that God seemed fit to send that shepherd to the cross so that you and I have the hope of life. And that's why tonight we're going to conclude by having Larry in just a moment lead us an invitation song. Because lost sheep sometimes need a return. Sometimes they end up in the pig pen. And it might be that we have lost sheep that need to come back to the good shepherd. So tonight, if we can help you or assist you in any way in your obedience to Christ, why not make it known as we stand and sing, would you come?